Ramban. This is the way I was brought up. When I was in elementary school, when I was in high school, I never heard of the Ramban. But I heard of these two Rambans. One of them is in Parshas Kedoshim. That's about not being a menuvel b'rishus haTorah. You know, taking things that the Torah allows you to do and ruining them by taking them too far. Eating too much, doing too many things that are physical when you really should be controlling your tivus. But we're not going to talk about that famous Ramban. We're going to talk about the other famous Ramban. The last Ramban in Parshas Bo, this week's Parsha. Foundational for our Hashkafa in general. As I told you, Rav Lichtenstein once said that had the Rambam not written, the Mor Nebuchadnezzar, he wrote this down. It's not just something he's had in passing, but I read an article also. Had the Rambam not written Mor Nebuchadnezzar, our Mesorah would have survived. Judaism would have been okay. Had the Ramban not written his Parish Al Torah, the Ramban's work is foundational in so many ways. This Ramban is perhaps one of the most foundational Rambans of them all. So I'm glad you're all here tonight. I heard the Rosh Hashiva already spoke about it. The Rosh Hashiva loves Ramban more than I do. And I heard that he spoke about it twice already this week. Nonetheless, I feel like it's essential for people to see it inside, note some of the knottier issues, to realize what we understand, what we don't understand, lead to enjoy the poetry of his words. Okay, so if anybody doesn't understand anything, feel free to pipe in. If there are things that are broader that you don't understand, we'll discuss afterward. Let's take it from the top. Okay? The Ramban begins. The last Ramban, if you're looking in Parshas Bo, if you want to look at it inside afterwards. The Torah is commanding us to wear tefillin. Ulatotafos b'neinecha. So the Ramban explains that the word totafos, it's not clear what it means. So he explains that Bali Halashon, you know, he quotes Rashi, who quotes as one of the grammarians, I don't know, read the little paragraph in an art scroll footnote about him. Lived in like the 900s or so. Anyhow, so he wrote a lot about grammar and dictuk, and he explains the word totafos to have to do with dew dripping from the mountains, and that talk about and see the tefillin on your eyes, it will flow to their ears. Okay, a weird interpretation, understanding the word taf. All right, interesting. The Ramban quotes Chazal instead of Menachem, as Rashi quoted, and he says that Chazal say that it means a type of headdress, you know, something that goes around your head. Ramban says, who are you going to trust, Menachem or Chazal? Look at his wording. V'heim Bali Halashon, right, he started off by quoting the Bali Halashon, but he says here at the end of paragraph one, V'heim Bali Halashon, Shemedabrim Bo, who spoke in Hebrew? Chazal. Who were the ones that were closer to the Mesorah? Chazal. The Yodim Oso, they're the ones that know it. Umehem Roy Lekablo. Logically, who makes more sense? Not just Chazal, because they were our ancestors, an expert grammarian. Who do we trust? We trust Chazal, because they knew the language better than Menachem knew it. And they lived closer to the time when it was given, and they spoke the language, they lived the language. So of course we should listen to them. An interesting agdama for the heart of the piece that we're going to get to soon. Additionally, why does it say totafos in plural instead of in singular form? He explains, because the boxes of the Shel Rosh are broken up, right? Your Shel Yad is one compartment, your Shel Rosh has four compartments, so it's numerous compartments. And again, he reiterates the idea. Kasher kabalnu tzurasam mina avos hakadoshim, as we had it passed down, man from man, generation to generation, Sharon vehemently spoke to God, they heard God speaking back, told us this is the correct form. So we don't have any doubts when the Karaites around you in the Ramban's time, when other people tell you, no, this is the proper form, because I just read the Chumash today and decided this is what they're supposed to look like. We've been doing this for thousands of years. And we heard it from people that spoke with God, who heard his voice telling him that this is the right way to do it, and this is the way it's always been done. So we don't have any doubts about tefillin. A nice Ramban to begin, but we're almost up to the Iker point. Now, the Ramban explains that the reason why we have these four portions of Shema inside of our tefillin is because each one of these address. And what does the mitzvah of tefillin address? Placed against our heart and against our forehead by our brains, in order so that we should always remember Yitzias Mitzrayim. The Ramban then mentioned something, Alderach Sod, Alderach HaEmes, which I left out, something which is hard to understand. If you guys want to read it, I don't know, try to read it on your own. The Ramban tells us in Akdama Nebereishis, if there are things that you don't understand, that I say Alderach Sod, do not try to understand them, because you're going to be led to heresy. You're going to think you're understanding them, you're going to misunderstand them, and you're going to destroy the world. So, please don't. Try to read and understand the things that you know you can't. I know where I'm holding by, 50 years or so. We'll come back to it. But for now, you can try. But if you see you're not getting it, pass. Please, the Ramban himself tells you. You guys ready? This is the Ramban that we're talking about now. This is where the Ramban begins. Paragraph number 3. I just thought that introduction was worthwhile because language reminding us about our Mesorah, portions of it, and why logically it makes sense. You ready? Here we go. V'ata omer lecha klal betam mitzvos rabos. Now I'm going to teach you a rule about many mitzvos. No, many, not all. Many mitzvos relate to this rule. Me'ez hayos galilim ba'olam. From the time that Avodah Zarah came into the world, mimei Enosh, in the days of Enosh, heichalu adeus l'shabish be'emunah. People began to mess up in their emunah. They made mistakes. They thought they were being logical. They messed up. point one that they messed up in. Mehem kofrim be'ikr. Many of them denied the foundational points. Va'omrim ki olam kadmon. They said the world is eternal. The universe is eternal. Matter is there is no creator. Ki chashu ba'Hashem v'yomru lohu. They said Hashem doesn't exist. Kfira level number one. Those people that denied God his entirety. Now, there were other types of kofrim. Umehem, about the eternity of matter. That, yeah, there are many Greek philosophers that he dislikes. Aristotle is one of them. And the differences between Plato's worldviews and Aristotle's are beyond the scope of this year for now. But you're absolutely right. Group number one of kofrim that are those that denied that there is a creator. And they said that the world is eternal. Number two, umehem achishim be'yidiyaso ha'pratis. They said, no, there is a God. But he has no idea what's going on in this world. He has no ability to understand what's going on. He's far too lofty. This God cannot see what's going on our universe. And the third and final group of those that deny God, these, umehem sheyodu biyadiyah. No, they say that God exists and he created the world. And moreover, he knows what's going on. But still, they deny one of these. And that is the ability to control the world. Some people refer to that as the divine watchmaker, right? Their brand of kafira. That God created the world and sort of left it. And maybe, in fact, he even knows about what's going on. He might know what's going on, but he has no ability to. He has no control over the world. He made it and he left. And maybe he can look back on it, but he has no ability to control it. This is really twofold. Let's call it one point. Either no ability to control it and to intervene, or else that he doesn't. Even if he could, he just doesn't, because he doesn't care. Exactly. This was that third brand of kafira. That he created the world and he knows what's going on, but he either can't intervene, or he doesn't care to. Those are essentially the same. They are different, but they're among groups together. We'll leave them together for now. The second one is that Hashem doesn't know what's going on in this world. The third one is that Hashem, even if he knows, doesn't do anything about it. Meaning, to say, somebody murders a baby, Hashem's like, all right, I know about it, but I'm not going to do anything. Three types of kofrim. The Ramban now explains how Yetzias Mitzrayim was intended to defuse all three of those, to defeat them all. Before we move on, I just want to highlight one point, which is going to be important for a point later on. If you look at the end of the third paragraph, when the Ramban is talking about those that deny Hashem has any ability to intervene in the world, so the Ramban says, "Umehem sheyodi b'yadiyam achishim v'ashkacha, v'yasu adam k'dgei hayam." They make man like the fish of the sea. Shelo yashkia hakel b'hem, v'ein imahem onesh oskar. The Ramban says that turn people, they say that Hashem doesn't care to intervene. Hashem plays no active role in their lives. Just as he does not, Hashem does leave. While human beings might have hashgacha, and Hashem might intervene in our lives, and Hashem might reward and punish us for our actions, poor little Nemo gets eaten by... Nobody cares. We don't care. Hashem does not control whether or not that particular incident... We're going to get much more into his shita about Hashgacha later on. At this point, the Ramban is saying there are those that denied Hashem had any intervention in this world. And aside from that, implicit in that is that the Ramban himself is sort of limiting Hashem's intervention in the world. The Ramban is saying that for human beings, clearly Hashgacha, but he's admitting the point that maybe, you know, for each individual fish, Hashem doesn't really care about whether that fish or this fish is going to be the one that will continue on the species, as long as the species in general continues on. We'll get to that more later on, but at this point, that sounds like what the Ramban is implying. Now, how does Yetzias Mitzrayim come to solve these problems? Paragraph number four. Ukasher yirtzah Elokim be'eda o b'yachid. When Hashem wanted, when Hashem desired in any particular individual or group of people, b'yasa imayim mofes, does a miracle, b'shinoy min hago sha'olam v'tivo, yizborer l'chol, Bittul Hadeus Ela Kula. Miracles disprove all three types of kafira. Kia Mofes Hanifla, because the wondrous sign, Mora A, Shiesh La'olam Eloka Machadsho. By the fact that somebody is beyond the bounds of nature, he is not bound by them. Accordingly, God must have been created along with nature, but rather he preceded nature and therefore has full ability to break its bounds as if they were eternal. Part of the idea of the eternality of the universe, matter, as we might call it in modern science, is the assumption that because fundamentally it always was, always is, and always will be, it can't. But from the fact that Hashem could go and break natural law clearly with a strong hand and show that it shows that he preceded it and has the ability to create it. And that's, so it comes to destroy this, that the world is eternal. The second point is Biodea. You see that Hashem knows what's going on in the world. Because Hashem saw the evil that the Mitzrayim were doing to the Bnei Yisrael. Finally, he interacted on their behalf. Hashem showed that he has hashgacha in this world with these miracles. In one fell swoop, a miracle proves that Hashem is beyond the bounds of nature, he knows what's going on, and he can actively cause a tactical mitzrayim, not the Jews, at the time when they need it, how he wants. Moreover, a fourth point which comes out, not one of the aspects of kefirah, but which is essential for understanding our religion, ukasher yehamofisahu nigzar techila mipi navi. Now, what else happened in Yetzias Mayim? When that nes was decreed and predicted by a Navi first, divine communication in rare individuals was proven as well. This God doesn't only know what's going on in this world, and doesn't only intervene, but moreover, this God talks to us. Haraya, the proof is, Moshe comes into Pharaoh, says, tomorrow, and indeed there's a meteor storm. Tomorrow, for all the babies that you threw into the river and you murdered, God's going to have retribution and destroy your source of water. And it's all going to come bright blood red, the same way that you caused all our babies to die in there. And indeed, that's what happened. Moshe was clearly in cahoots with this divine creator, with the one who showed that he's beyond the bounds of nature, with the one who shows he knows what's going on, the one who shows that he's in control. Moshe was first. Clearly then, he was hearing it from Hashem. It proved that Nevuah is true, and that, of course, is essential for belief in Torah. We believe that Hashem communicates with us. We believe that's the source of Torah itself, that Hashem gave us the Torah by communicating directly with us in no uncertain terms. Ulachain. Next paragraph. The Ramban continues. Yomar HaKasav Emovsin L'man Teida Kini Hashem Bekerav Aretz. And he repeats how the psukim themselves allude, how the psukim are there to show you that Hashem is telling you, why am I doing Yetzias Mitzrayim? Get into the whole world for thousands of years now, been misguided. I'm showing you that I'm here, I exist, I know what's going on, I control it. The next paragraph, the Ramban now explains. Here's where we have this tam lachos. Bavor ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo yase os face b'chol dor le'inei kol rush okor. And because Hashem's not going to do this every generation. Hashem clearly created the world with a certain... Hashem created the world for a purpose in the way that he did. He doesn't want to break it every second. Hashem needs to go and break us out to prove the point that would defeat his purpose for creating it in the first place. Hashem wants it to look normal for a certain reason. Divine plan he has. For him to break it every day would defeat that purpose. But he did break it. He broke it once in a straightforward fashion. And therefore, because Hashem's not going to do this in every generation, Yitzava osanu shenase tamid zichron v'os lasherao einenu. Hashem said, you should constantly have this before your eyes. And listen to how many ways the Ramban, by showing us different mitzvot. How many mitzvot are Zecher L'Yetzias Mitzrayim? How many times have we heard it sung in Kiddush? I won't get for you. But we all know Zecher L'Yetzias Mitzrayim. We hear it as a refrain in our tefillos. In so many mitzvot, whether it's Pidyon HaBen like this topic is here, or Petra Chamor, or Mezuzah, or they all relate back to Yetzias Mitzrayim. Hashem gave us a reminder of these miracles that he did that time to prove to us the true philosophical beliefs that we should all be holding, and he wants, just pay attention. Live your life with meaning, and remember what I once did for you, and remember what's true in this world and what's fake. The Ramban illustrates for us, what I counted at least as, of how much Hashem is trying to drill this into our head. First of all, these mitzvot are very strict in their punishment. Some of them have kareis. The only asay, one is bris milah, the only other asay that you get kareis for is not bringing a Karban Pesach. You don't get more zeher Yetzias Mitzrayim than Karban Pesach. They're strict in their punishment and of how often they're occurring. Every morning and night. Frequent in terms of their quantity. We have so many mitzvot. The sense that they're right before us in our eyes. They're on our home. They're on our doors. They're on our arms. And it's everywhere. Hashem's saying, remember, remember, remember. They're immortal in the sense that we're supposed to have generation. And that's why Hashem doesn't have to. And finally, there's set period during the year, temple, where we go, leave our regular existence, and remember, remember that Hashem exists. And Hashem controls the world. Hashem knows what's going on. Hashem will reward and punish us for our deeds. Moving on. This is a general rule for understanding why it is that Hashem has given us so many mitzvot for Zecher L'Yetzias Mitzrayim. Listen to this beautiful language. And these are there to serve as testimony for us so we don't forget the miracles that Hashem once worked. So that way there won't be any room for somebody to deny that Hashem has these abilities. You pay a dollar. You buy a mezuzah. Okay, maybe today it's like more like $80, whatever it is. You get a mezuzah. And you hang it on your wall. You hang it on your door. Here's the trick. It's not just to kiss the mezuzah. It's to remember what the mezuzah represents. You see that mezuzah on the wall as you walk out the door and you think about what it represents, of how for thousands of years they have been hanging that exact same mezuzah on the door and been paying attention to its topic. What are you doing with that one zuz? Far, hold it. You admit to the fact that there's a creator, BDS Abori, that he knows what's going on, and that he has the ability to control the world. As we added, right? Also in the fact that there's Nevuah, that Hashem communicates with us. And additionally, a fifth point the Ramban adds in, about the innate morality and justice in them. Because after all, this God that knows what's going on, that created the world, that controls what's going on in the world, that communicates with us, maybe he's evil. He doesn't do good for good people. Maybe he hurts. Maybe he's bad. Maybe he's good to bad people. Mitzias Mitzrayim proves that as well. A just God. He remembers the kindness of the forefathers. Even when everything seemed like it was over, even at the worst of times, save us in a moment that had attacked us and enslaved us and brutally murdered us. And he brought us out with a strong hand and gave us great reward. And he came and brought us. See that this God is not only all-powerful, and he wants good from us as well. Lefikach Amru, and this is a mission in Pirkei Avos, have a zayir mitzvah kala, kibach amura. What does that mean? Treat a lowly mitzvah, a light mitzvah, the same way you would treat a heavy mitzvah. You should be careful about both of them. Why? That doesn't make sense. This one's light, this one's heavy. Be treating like, you know, I have only so much time, I should try the heavier, more important mitzvah. It's more impactful than the other one. No, the Ramban says, that's a misconception. Because all mitzvot are super important and critical. Because all of them, look how many of these ones. You would have thought of mezuzah. Who thinks about a mezuzah? Most of us, heaven owned a honum, right? You know, your parents are the ones doing the mezuzah. You don't think about it. It is all around us at all times. And now, here we move away from a rule which relates to a mental idea which relates to all the mitzvot. We're about to get heavy. We're about to get to the purpose of creation and the purpose of all the mitzvot. Right now, we've been talking about Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim, which has been an essential point, which helps us remember Hashem. But what is the purpose of this? Lefikach Amru, they say, have a zayir b'mitzvah kala, the last, second to last paragraph, b'mitzvah kala b'chamura, shekulan chamudos v'chavios mod. Every one of them is essential. Every one of them is desired by Hashem. Every one of them is beloved. Shebechol shat adam moda b'hem l'lokav. In each moment, a person has the ability to admit and to recognize and to appreciate his God. V'kavanas kol ha-mitzvot. Shinamin Belokenu Vinoda Elov Shehu Bar Anu. All Hashem wants is for us to recognize that He exists and to admit that He is our Creator, to thank Him for that, and in this world. We forget so much. We forget about our family. We forget about our regular relationships. Alachas Kama Vakama, we forget about the invisible God, the one who exists absolutely, who doesn't hit us in the face. So Hashem tries to show us with all these mitzvot, just to get us to remember the purpose of the world. Behind the facade that's placed before us, throws us off, and gets us and makes us waste our time on things which don't matter, which don't exist, so that we're like dust thrown into a river and get washed away as it gets rushed in the current. I am he l'machazikim ba. Hold on to that branch, folks, the Torah, which sticks out over the water. Pull yourself up so you don't get dead. Would be the worst thing in the world. And Hashem has done the greatest thing in the world for us by giving us the mitzvot to serve as constant. All the mitzvot are here for that purpose. V'kavanas yetzira. That's the reason why the world was created. Like what you hear every day, what that's about. She'ein lanu tam acher b'yetzira rishona. There's no other reason for us. Maybe there are other reasons for God. But the only reason we can relate to as human beings is the fact that Hashem wants us to recognize Him. It's very hard sometimes. And Hashem helps us to try to break our last, ultimately reward us and give us good for all those. Vein kel elyon chafetz betachtonim melvad sheyada ha'adam yoda l'kav shabara. Hashem only wants from us that we should just recognize Him. V'kavanas romamos hakol betfila. Why do we daven? Why do we say amen yishmei rabba with all our might? V'kavanas batei knesios. Why do we bother to get up for shachars? Why do we gather together in communal prayer? Tefilas harabim. Why is it such a great merit when we all daven together? Zehu sheyel b'nei adam makom yiskabsu v'yodu l'kel. Because that's the purpose of creation. That's when we directly communicate with Hashem. We recognize that for one moment. I used to think about this when I was in yeshiva. When I would say Shema and Maariv, I made myself a little plan. I said, when I say Shema and Maariv, I don't care what else I do in my life. I just do really bad. I don't know. I'm going to try not to. I'm not going to get distracted. But I'm saying Shema anyhow. I'm already saying Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Imagine if I had Kavana for one sentence I said all day. I don't care what else happened that day. I don't care what else I did wrong, how else I messed up, how much I was mabatel, how much I did anything. At least for one second, I know that much. I have that clarity. So what does it say Shema twice a day? Daraisa, twice a day, say Shema. I'm fulfilling divine will. The purpose of the universe at that moment. Exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. And it's the highest form of recognition of the purpose of the universe. It's to declare for yourself, for the world, that Hashem exists. At that moment, I don't care what else I do all day. I'm not saying you should do whatever you want all day. You try as hard as you can all day. Black holes there are, which we haven't done right now, or fighting each other in the purpose of all of that. At that moment, when you pay attention. In the end, the Ramban ends off with something which is an extremely thorny issue. I'll read it, although note the sources I placed on the bottom. For more on the topic of the hashkacha of human beings, of the Ramban, see the following. See Yitzhak Daman and Sefer Iyov. See his essay on Torah Hashem Tamima with those numerous sources. See his drash on Qoheles, his drash on Rosh Hashanah. See all the following sources of Ramban al-Torah. And there are many more, where he discusses Hashgacha about how Hashem means in each one of our personal lives. What exactly is a miracle? What is it? What exactly Hashem to do for us? And where Hashtadlis comes into play? These are extremely thorny issues, and I don't mean to paskin for anybody, I have no ability to do so, and I certainly don't mean to mislead you by this one Ramban. That's why I put 20 other sources on there, all from the Ramban himself, about this topic. This Ramban, while it might be a little bit misleading for his general sheet, I still think is worth reading, because sometimes when you, and you're all the way to one extreme, to swing yourself back to the middle, you sort of need to go to the other extreme. Push that way, then you'll hopefully end up somewhere close to the middle. So I know this Ramban is particularly extreme. Some of you might like it for that. Shana Aleph, Shana Bet guys are known for liking things that are extreme. I don't want you to misconstrue it. There are other Rambans which help adjust this to be more normative. Nonetheless, let's read the final paragraph of this Ramban, and with that we'll end for tonight. Umin ha-nisim ha-gedolim, from these miracles which happen back in the days of Yetzias Mitzrayim, these miracles, public miracles, adam modim ha-nisim ha-nistar, then a person comes to admit im yisod ha-Torah kula, which are the of the entire Torah itself. She'ein la-adam chelek b'toras Moshe Rabbeinu. You have no portion in Torah Moshe Rabbeinu ad shenamin b'chol devarenu umikarenu shekulam ein b'hen teva umenhago shalom. That nothing that happens to any human being has anything whatsoever to do with nature. Everything that happens to every human being is absolutely a miracle. As much as the fact that we breathe, the fact that we walk, the fact that you have no portion in the Torah Moshe. When the Ramban himself in other places seemingly indicates that there is, it requires a lot more analysis. Or if you'd like to talk about it more, I can tell you my own opinion. Ben Arsh already gave, I think, three classes this year on it. Professor Berger from YU has a whole article about it, trying to deal with some of these issues. It's very complex what exactly the Ramban holds about Hashgacha, but from here it sounds like he's saying nothing happens to any human being, which is not an outright miracle. Don't be fooled. The Ramban continues on and says, Bein Rabban, Bein Yachid, it happens to everybody. Ella im yaseh mitzvos yatzlichenu svaro. You do mitzvos, good will come from it. And if you do bad, then you will be cut away. I had such a crazy, crazy Hashgacha Prata story that happened to me today. I thought I'd share it. Today was so explicit, and I knew I was talking about this Ramban. I thought it was clearly Hashgacha Prata. He wanted me to share this with you. Being a summer internship, looking for something in data science as a career path other than the rabbinate. And it's also not my nature. You go up to people randomly, and it's not who I am. I started giving him some of what was going on through, and I had some things that I could actually give him a lead on concerning this particular problem. And he was really appreciative of it, and he was so happy. He was in a similar situation to me in this regard. It's about over that afternoon, Seder, later, I walked out of three phone calls. I got another email, and I looked beyond myself and realized that other people, I should daven for them. I was preparing this Ramban yesterday, too. I was thinking about the same thing. So you can hear this idea 1,000 times, but you don't always internalize it. This helped me internalize it. You remember that everything. With that, I leave you. The Ramban ends off saying that he'll tell you more about this in other places. They quote one particular source. I think I put it on here. I have it in the end of there. But it's a fascinating Ramban. Overall, the points to walk away with, to remember how the mitzvos are all there to remind us about the great miracles Hashem once did. Why do we care about those great miracles? First of all, they disprove all the potential kfir you might hear, even in its modern form. And moreover, they remind you, these mitzvos remind us that those miracles were there to remind us of the fact that Hashem exists, and all he wants from us is to remember that he exists. We can make sure that we fulfill the purpose of the world. Right.